We have been looking at the aspirations of this church, and today we shall be looking at aspiration 7, which is a prophetic church. The word prophetic, even within the Christians, has been greatly misunderstood. So talk players outside the Christians, you can imagine what the interpretation of prophetic will be. Therefore, this morning is going to be a mixture of teaching and preaching. Because if we say we want to be a prophetic church, it is just necessary and ideal for us to know what prophetic means in the light of the scriptures. So, when we look at the word prophetic, we therefore look into how do you qualify to walk within that realm. In the Old Testament, two Hebrew words are used to describe the prophet. The first is roi, which means the one who sees. And the second word is nabai, which means the one who speaks, especially on behalf of another. So, if we bring the two together, we can say a prophet, by special divine revelation, sees and therefore speaks on God's behalf in a way that is particularly inspired by God. If we look into the scripture, biblical prophecies has two elements. The first is forthtelling, and the second is foretelling. Foretelling occurs when God reveals a message related to the morality of God's people. An example is where we have in Amos 2, 6 to 7, which says, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They also who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and push the afflicted out of the way." That's foretelling, warning. This is going to happen because you have moved away from my laws. So foretelling can be similar to what we call being a social critic. But does it therefore mean that social critics are prophets? No, they are not. For it to qualify, it means they must have been inspired by God to do that. The other key element of biblical prophecy is foretelling. In other words, God reveals through the prophet certain truths about God's plan. As we find in Ezekiel 37, when the Israelites have been taken on captive to Babylonia, and God planned their restoration, and he took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones, and he spoke to Ezekiel, "Can these dry bones live?" Ezekiel was marveled. "I can tell." But he told him, "Prophesy." And as soon as he began to prophesy, what happened? We have bones now clicking together, flesh coming, which tells about the restoration of Israel, which God has planned. So in some cases, the prophecy could be forthtelling. In some, it could be foretelling. And in another, it could be a combination of the two. If we go to Deuteronomy 18, 21 to 22, we see how God spoke to the prophet, telling him, "Because you have transgressed my law, there is going to be disaster." But because the king tore his clothes, the prophet told him, "This is what the Lord is saying. Because you have been remorseful, you will not see disaster, and you will live in peace." So you can see warning in terms of disaster coming, and another telling about what God will do in terms of God's plan, all coming together. But the key element of prophecy is that they see the mind of God and they speak on behalf of God. Today, we have the spokesman to the prime minister, or the spokesman to the president of the United States of America. Whatsoever they want to tell must have been approved. So, to be a prophet, you are more or less the spokesman of God. The spokesperson of the prime minister stays in number 10. He works with the prime minister, hand man. They relate together. If you will allow anyone to see your mind, the person must be for you and not against you, isn't it? And that is where we come when we talk about being a prophetic church. The church is not the building, but we people. And therefore, I can remove the word church and say a prophetic people. Let's look at the New Testament. Hebrews 1:1-2 tells us, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And listen to this now. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. When Jesus was going, he promised us the gift that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, it came with gifts. So if we go into the scriptures, we find the different gifts of the Holy Spirit, of which one of them is prophecy. So when we say at Rumford Baptist Church, our aspiration is to be a prophetic church, what we are saying here is that we want to be a prophetic people who allows the full range of the manifestations of the Spirit of God. Full range manifestation of the Spirit of God. So we want to grow as an individual. We also want to grow collectively. And therefore, have what we call a prophetic culture, which shapes us. It shapes the way we think. It shapes our lifestyles. And it gives us an identity. We want to see the mind of God. We want to speak on behalf of God in matters, whether in our homes, on the street, in our offices, in the church, in the community, wherever we find ourselves. That culture goes with us. Therefore, having understood what it means to be prophetic, the question now is, what is the specification? How do I qualify? What do I need to do? Or what do I need to bring in order to be within the ramification? The first prophetic people, they are Jesus-centered. They see Jesus as king. We've just sung a song now, which says Jesus is our Lord. We want his kingdom here. But is it just by singing alone? To be a prophetic people, it means your lifestyle must be God-centered. Do you know you carry God everywhere you go? You are a child of God. The Spirit of God is in you. Whether at home, in school, wherever you go, you carry God with you. You are a special person. And therefore, if you carry God wherever you go, you need to express the fullness of the Lord to others. As a prophetic people, you need to express, we need to express the fullness of God to others in life, in action, in everything we do. Last week, Pastor Hien, during his sermon, mentioned we need to shun the fruits of the flesh and put on the fruits of the Spirit. And that can only be possible if we allow God and if we give God the driving seat in our life. Can you imagine just you go to Asda there and somebody just behaved to you very rudely or in an unfriendly manner? And having done that, you just wanted to, you're not a member of the church, you just wanted to come and do something in the church, and you met the person at the door there. He's the doorman. The person who's just behaved very rudely to you. What will be your first thought? What will you think? Or maybe in the car park, there was an argument and the person started shouting, you know, harassing you anyhow. And you come to church and suddenly you see the person who've just done all that is the one preaching. What will be your first thought? What it means is that being prophetic is not by words alone, but our life. We don't want to say something and do another. So which means we live a double life. In church on Sundays, we look like saints. But what happens Monday to Saturday? Fill in the gap. You carry the Holy Spirit in you. So for you to be a prophetic people, your lifestyle must conform totally with God's precepts. The second one, if we read Luke 4, 17 to 19, that summarized in totality what Jesus came on earth to do. And he started by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. So to be a prophetic people, you must allow the Spirit of God. More often than not, the pastor says here, we have our plans and we say, God, this is what I have planned. Can you authorize it? As if you are passing a journal. We must be controlled by the Spirit of God. Before Jesus started his walk, the first thing was the Spirit of God descended upon him. The Spirit of God gave him the energy, the power, the unction to function. We cannot do anything by our own power, can we? How smart are we? How smart is our intelligence? You want to confront the devil. Can you overpower him? No. We need the Spirit of God. And if we look at what happened in Acts chapter 2 that was read, when the Spirit of God came upon Peter, prior to that, Peter was a coward. Peter could not be dependent on. He's even helpless. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, coward Peter became bold Peter. Timid Peter became brave Peter. He could speak. And that was why he stood. When they said, maybe they were drunkards, he said, no, it's too early in the morning. This is what the scripture has said. He became bold to give the message. As a prophetic people, we need the Holy Spirit to drive us. Prophetic people are not entertainers. Because that is exactly what they thought they were. Oh, they were drunk. Even Jesus himself, when he got into the temple, they fixed his eyes upon him. He never entertained. He took the business of his God, of his master, very dearly. So how do we take the business of God if we want to be prophetic people? In this church, there are many vacancies. We need people as Sunday school teachers. Almost every department needs people. But we have many of us still here, seated. We are sitting on the fence. And yet we want to be prophetic people. We cannot sit on the fence. We cannot continue to sit on the fence. We cannot continue to say, oh, this is my experience from my past church. You have moved on. Allow the Spirit of God to take control. Be useful. The gift of the Holy Spirit have been given to you. Make use of it. If we go further down, in Luke chapter 4, the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If we go to Proverbs 31, verse 8, it enjoins us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. But nowadays, we are very, very quiet. We are very quiet. Christians are very quiet. Why? We are timid. Why we be acting like cowards? When yet we have the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus, when he was alive, in Matthew 21, 12, overturned the tables of the money changers when he entered the temple. He will not allow that in his father's house. And when we were rounding off verse 172 says, my tongues shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. It's a commitment to speak of God's words, to speak out for those who are oppressed, to speak out for the destitute, to stand up for them. But what are we doing? When only few people are doing the work, the rest just sat down. They've sat down and they're just looking. We may not yet go as fast as we want. Let's look into the scriptures from Isaiah to Ezekiel to Paul. They are men, even to our Charles Spurgeon, they are men who stood up to speak the word of God. In school, I was reading about the life history of Charles Spurgeon. When he came into London, he rented a very big cinema. All that, the capacity was about 5,000. And yet the place was filled to the brim. People came just to listen to the word of God. When he first came into London, the press, as usual, gave him different names. Boy pastor, what will he do? He will soon fade away. The more they said that, the stronger he was. So if we say, oh, that happened in the scriptures, what of our own Charles Spurgeon? He stood up. He spoke against the authorities whenever they go wrong or they went wrong. In our offices, at home, do we stand for justice? But let me tell you this. It could be a very lonely road. Because when you stand for justice, it could be very, very lonely. But you don't need to be afraid. Because the scripture says, I am with you. Till when? Till the end of the world. Church, I want to tell you again that prophetic people must shine for Christ. Can you imagine if the headlight of a car was not in front, but was under the car? How good the car will be? Hello? Do you understand what I've just said there? If the headlight of your car is not in front, but rather under the car, you would drive, Pastor, it's ain't good, isn't it? You would drive, it's normal, it's under the car. So at night, especially if there is no street light, what happens? You think you will see very well? That is what happens if you are not shining for Christ. That's a good example. Your candle, your light, is not on the table, but under the bushel, under the table. We need to shine for Christ. A prophetic people must shine for Christ. You must not die with your spiritual gifts. Some of us here are good teachers. Some of us here are good apostles. Some of us here are good trainers. We have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit here. And as I've said at the beginning, when we say we want to be a prophetic church, we want the full manifestation of the Spirit of God. Whenever I tell some people, what's your church? Rumford Baptist Church. I said, no. Come to my church and experience the fullness of God. We are evangelical. And I can tell you, God is here. Let your light so shine. Let people be able to see your light. What is it that God has deposited in you? You can talk to pastor. You can talk to any of the leaders. This is what I can do. I started coming to this church 2013. My family and I, but we never really made the commitment. I think it was after Pastor Ian came. So immediately after the benediction, boom, that's my seat up there. Boom, boom, out we go. Bye-bye, see you next Sunday. But here am I today. So what is it that you can do that you are left undone? What is it that you have that I don't have? We cannot all be the same. Come out, make your mark. Some people did this. If they had not done it, this church would not be in existence. Make your mark. So that when you leave, people can say, when he was here, he did this, he did that. And most importantly, God in heaven, you say something about you. Make your mark. I'm going to give a good exercise to do. Just turn to this person by your side and speak to him. Make your mark. Tell him, don't be afraid to do that, please. Turn to the person beside you and say, make your mark. Make your mark. Make your mark. Another important feature of the prophetic people is what we see in Acts 13:1-3. Acts 13:1-3. They do not joke with the word of God. They do not joke with prayers. They do not joke with fasting. A prayerless Christian is what? Is powerless. A prayerless Christian is powerless Christian. Jesus prayed. He fasted. And he gave us the word. How often do you fast? How often do you study the scriptures? Have we turned it to Sunday medicine again? We will only open the scripture when we come to church on Sunday. But our skills when it comes to the various ICT maps, whether Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. We can do that a lot. But how often do we study the scriptures? If we want to be a prophetic people, the word of God should not be here. It should be where? In our heart. Because that is the only way you can see the mind of God. Do you give yourself prayers? We are a praying church. We pray. And God answers prayer. Yes or no? In this church, does God answer our prayer? We are not sure. Does God answer our prayers?
Yes.
God answers prayers. I can testify to that. A prophetic church is ready to take the risk. Risk taking is not based on success or fail mentality. Risk taking is connected to faith. Faith that God is the one who catches us irrespective of the outcome or result of the risk. An example is the meeting place. Can we quantify the seeds that have been sown into people's life? What plans, what value will you put on it? In our lives, we must be ready to take risks as a prophetic people. And finally, we must signpost towards the future. When we signpost towards the future, what do we do there? A prophet sees a different world because he sees a different world. And that is why the scripture says, let the weak say, I am what? Let the weak say, I am what? I am strong. Let the poor say, I am what? I am rich. Because the power of life and death is where? It's in your tongue. We signpost to the future. I want us to read 1 Peter 2 verse 9 now. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. That is where I'm going to end. Can we read together? One, go. What are we? A chosen people. A royal priesthood. So I want us, don't use the word you now. Use the word, but I am. Let's say it to ourselves. Can we go? One, go. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's special possession. That you may declare. Who has called me out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is who you are. And that is what prophetic people are. You are not just an ordinary being. You are a royal priesthood. Not of the earthly priest royalty, but heavenly royalty. May the Lord give us the enablement to live for him every day of our lives. Amen.